Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
Yeah, and
us old guys, man. It's past my bedtime, bro.
gotta help you download Skype on your phone. It's like I'm helping my dad.
Hold up a second. Are we live now?
Yeah, I think we're. Are we recording?
Hold up a second. I cannot be the only one that question like Skype. Like, it's Zoom now. I gotta teach you youngin' something. It's Zoom now, guys.
Listen, I'll say of all the beat writers and all the other personalities we've had on, no one's ever been Skype. Skype, you want me to download Skype?
Fair enough, because those freaking are old guys too. Fair enough. Yeah.
Audacity too, Ethan, or no?
No, let's just roll with it.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's fine. We could just go with that. We could skip the traditional intro since we're already into it. All right. So episode doesn't really matter. We don't really have episode numbers, but like I mentioned in the episode Weiss and I did a couple weeks ago, we're going to be moving to a slightly different format, doing a more football focused weekly recap, and then try to do something a little bit more fun. So for the first quote unquote fun episode, we got Joe, license plate guy, on Twitter. Joe, you have any socials you want to plug, any giveaways you're doing that you want to plug?
Yeah, man. Thank you. Obviously, it's just at license plate guy and everything. And you guys caught me at a really, good time, man. It's because I just announced my November 19th autograph show, and it's the first one I'm ever doing, and I just announced it like 5 minutes ago, so I figured I would do it right before I jumped on with you guys, because you got more reach than probably I do.
Well, at least Weiss does. I don't know about me.
I don't know about that.
That's actually a good segue. So before we hit the record button, we're doing a little ball busting between Joe and Weiss, and I'll even take this back a little bit further. So Joe, when we met for the first time at a Giants game with our dear friend Will at the tailgate, I think the conversation actually started with you didn't know that Weiss and I were two separate people, that I ran the NYG Daily Twitter account. And then I'll let you take it from there, where you met Weiss and you didn't even know that you met Weiss at FanFest.
No, I mean, I think it's so funny. Cause I mean, let's not pull any punches here. You guys were not big LPG fans back in the day, because I think you just didn't like the Homer in me. And you correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, that's just the way I took it. And, whether we followed each other, didn't follow each other, it doesn't matter. There was always the respect there.
That's what I was going to say. Yep.
Always. I mean, you don't need to like everybody. And you don't need to enjoy everybody's content. No. That's not what this is about. I don't do it for the freaking likes, and I don't do it for the following. However, I do enjoy your following. I do enjoy your content, and I do enjoy you guys. No, when I met you, it was so funny because I didn't know that you ran it. And I've met Weiss. I met him before.
Yeah.
I know him. I followed him. It's not like I didn't know who he was, but I had no idea he was part of it, which I think is really funny. So I love that it's come full circle. I mean, that's what freaking social media is about. Like, wait, you're who? So I think that's pretty cool when it really comes together.
Yeah, man.
And I've had that experience, not just with Giants Twitter, but Islanders Twitter too, and meeting everyone. And like you said, listen, the respect's always there. We're not always going to agree. We're going to disagree sometimes. I can't speak for everyone else, but I never really hesitate to call someone out if I disagree with something or if there's something that I dislike. But like you said, that respect's always there.
No, you guys call people out for disagreeing. I'm gonna tell you something so funny that I gotta call you guys out on. So this is such a good episode, because I'm this is great. Uh-oh. You ready? Yeah, I'm bringing it. I'm bringing the heat tonight.
Let's go.
So, all right, you guys reach out to me right before the fan fest. Now, again, for those people that are listening, like, you guys and Life Split Guy are like still in the honeymoon stages on social media, as far as, just liking each other and like, okay, maybe he's not such a bad homer, and maybe these guys aren't such douches. Like, you know what I mean? let's call it the way it is. So we've have been cordial for a while. I very much enjoy your content, and I really appreciate you guys with the kind words of what the stuff that I do. So you reach out to me on Twitter. Hey, private message, no big deal. It's like, hey, LPG, you're going to be FanFest? Let's get together. I'm like, oh, it's really cool, man. Very much looking forward to seeing you guys. And then 2 minutes later, on your freaking not on direct message, not on a DM. Hey, so much looking forward to hanging out with blank, 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 but not license plate guy.
Oh no, no, that wasn't me.
Yeah, was it me? Yeah.
I think somebody had. The thing about me is I'm bad with plugs. I'm really, really bad. I'm not even joking with you.
No, I'm really busting balls because it's not about a plug, and I don't even care about that. I just thought it was so funny. Like, you put out a tweet, but then let's direct license plate.
So I'll tell you a funny story, okay? I'll tell you a funny story. I don't put my face out there. I don't like to be like, I'm nothing against people that do. I just don't do it. And I don't have no problem with it. I've gone on air with my face or anything. It's nothing. It's just not something that I'm like, I have to have a face to it. So when I was at FanFest, I met a lot of people, and a lot of the people that, you know, I saw, I recognized from my timeline, you know, like people that would say shit to me. And a funny story is a guy came up to me and I was standing with the Talking Giant guys, and I was talking to them, and I guess he wanted to take a picture with them. So he came up to me and said, hey, can you take my picture? So I was like, yeah, no problem. I'll take a picture of the guys. So I took his picture. No problem. I think that night or the next day, I saw the picture that I took on his profile picture or whatever. And I recognized it because I took the picture. Now he showed up on my timeline was he was cussing, not cussing at me, but he was disagreeing with me about something that I said. Now, I could have responded and said, hey, man, you're welcome for the picture, but I just...
How did you not say, but I take a damn good pic?
Because the guy, I mean, you know,
you gotta pick your battles.
I'm petty.
You know what you should have said? You should have said, this is my rifle. There's only one rifle, because you look dead ringer, by the way. Anybody tell you that before?
What's up?
Don't tell me that no one's told you look like that guy, right? From Full Metal Jacket.
No, I do. You know who I get a lot, and it's crazy.
I know you get that. You get Law and Order guy too.
I get Ezekiel Elliott a lot.
It's the beard.
Rookie year, Ezekiel Elliott. I get it a lot.
It's the beard.
When I let the beard grow a little bit, and I the hair, you know, I get a Zeke a little bit.
I can see it actually.
Funny. Yo, you should grow that shit way out and just.
Oh, I got thick hair, man. I got thick hair. It starts to hurt, especially in the summertime. It's like I start sweating.
Do me a favor. Don't talk hair problems with me.
Well, here's the thing. I wanted to, when I saw you at FanFest, it was the first time I saw you in a while. And I was so surprised that you have not gone white yet. Not because you're getting old, but because of the last like 4 years.
Good save. Yeah. The last four years.
Seeing you,
I love
sitting,
it, yo, you put that.
Sitting
dude, I got my hair cut today too. First question I asked the girl cutting my hair. Any grays?
Yeah.
None.
Now look. Hey, look. These little sideburns, just for men, comes in handy, bro.
Of course. But let me ask you this. Let me ask you this about the last 4 years. I've been meaning to ask you this. I was going to ask you through DM. I was going to ask you at FanFest. I really have to know. You go to every game.
Yeah.
Last game you missed. Don't count the COVID year.
No. Okay. Not the COVID year. 1999.
Okay. So you've been going to games for a while.
This is my 22nd year. Yep.
Right. And you dish out, it's your own money. Nobody gives it to you. Like, I know that, but for the record, this is your own, like, you pay money.
No one paid for shit. Now, if you know anybody that wants to let me know. But yeah. No, go ahead.
Well, at any point over the last 4 years, you're sitting in a stadium. Mm-hmm. It can be cold. It can be hot. It can be raining. It can be in Dallas. It can be in Green Bay. It can be anywhere. And are you sitting there and are you saying to yourself, man, I dished out $500 for a ticket. I dished out another $500-$600 for, you know, airline and hotel and all that. What the fuck am I doing here?
Yeah. Hey, look, you're being generous with the only going back 4 years. Number one.
Yeah.
Number two, look, there have been so many times, bro, when, you know, you're looking at the first quarter.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. And again, like you said, you could be anywhere, but let's take a West Coast trip.
Give me a game.
I don't care. You take a last time we went out there to LA. It doesn't matter in Oakland. So you could take it. You could take a game. I mean, all right, let's take the Eli game. All right.
Okay.
I'm already pissed off. I still don't think it's going to happen. I still think that Eli's going to play. I don't know. That's the stupid homer in me. I'm like, of course he's going to just take a snap and then Geno's going to take
the streak
over.
Alive, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just anything. But you know, he's too professional like that. He wasn't going to have it anyway. You know, you're sitting there and it takes one bad play and you start to say to yourself, just what you said, I literally dish out probably a few grand a game. Okay. And then all of a sudden it's the first quarter. You sit back in your seat. Right. And you think, all right, so I'm getting on a plane at midnight to take a red eye home where I'm going to land and I'm going to go to work the next day. Okay. So I'm playing all that in my head. I land at 7. I got to be work by 7:30. I'm already going to be late. My principal and superintendent are going to question me. The Giants got their ass kicked. I spent $2,000. Family hates me. Like, why? There's so much going on, bro. And you're right. There has been plenty of times where I've questioned it. But in the end, I constantly go, look, I've been to 5 Super Bowls, man. 5. I went to 5. I talk about 4 of them. They're on my leg. Like you cannot take the good and not have the bad. You must take them both. You absolutely have to.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but yeah, getting to your question, yeah, it sucks ass.
I mean, well, I watch them on my TV, and then the last couple of years, they've been transitioning to the iPad by Halloween. And then slowly by December, the iPad is like, you know what? Let me just not waste the iPad.
Listen, watching Jake Fromm drop back to pass is enough to make a Mormon drink. Yeah, so, yeah.
So true.
So let's talk about more football related things now. I have a take. I was actually doing some thinking about the Giants today, this afternoon. And I'm actually very excited for this upcoming season. I'll tell you why. In my eyes, I believe that this upcoming season is probably going to be the least stressful Giants season since 2012. And Joe, I see you thinking right now, and you might disagree just because, you know, you put your heart into every single game. So, you know, but I'll finish and then you can go. But the Giants had a great offseason, a new front office and coaching staff that so far it seems that a lot of people can trust. And the general understanding amongst people who supported Dave Gettleman, people who are anti-Dave Gettleman, people who are just peripherally paying attention, people who are diehards, really seems the general consensus, 90% plus of people understand that this is a process and that this is going to take a few years to get on the right track. And that this year, playing with probably 2 quarterbacks who are very likely not going to be on the roster next year, a bunch of young guys who are still unproven, and a front office that needs to get the salary cap straight, this, in my eyes, is probably going to be the least stressful Giants season to date, knowing that it's with certainty about 3 years from now.
And yeah, fantastic.
Joe, I'd love your thoughts.
No, fantastic take. Because I think that just having 2 guys in positions that you can trust, 2 guys with different mind frames, 2 guys that aren't afraid to make decisions that are not hopefully coming down from the top, I think that alone should give you unbelievable, you know, you should be amped up for the season.
Yeah.
Now look, we had people starting in positions that shouldn't even have been in the game.
Practice squad.
You know? Yeah. I mean, so now you have some bookends, you know, you have, finally, it's taken all this time, but you really are going to find out whether Daniel Jones is. And that's another great thing you guys had. What a great take on the quarterback situation I read today from you guys, because, you know, I'm sitting in New England and I'm Tyrod, you know, Taylor comes in and I'm like, oh, here we go. He's going to lead the Giants down the field, touchdown. Next day, it's going to be all hell on Giants Twitter. But you're right. Like, first of all, Daniel Jones makes some unbelievable throws. And he runs with the ball and he's good. And then Daniel Jones has some unbelievable brain farts, and he's throwing it to nobody, and he's not making the right decisions, and he's holding on to the ball. Well, that's not going to get him for franchised. He's not going to get a guaranteed contract. So you're right. Chances are these guys are not going to be on the team. Now, going back to what you said, I 100% agree with you. Let me ask you guys a question. Did you guys go all in on Eli's last year when they spent $206 million, or did you not like it?
Did not like it.
You're talking about 2016?
Yeah.
I didn't mind the spending spree. I just thought they neglected some important areas.
Yeah, like offense.
like the offensive line, yeah.
I think they spent $200 million on defense. But but I was in on it because, like, you know, like going back to what we said, I'm sorry, I did think Eli had one more year in him. I did think it was a last hurrah. And the only reason why I say that is because until you get me somebody else, that is the guy. And if you think you were going to roll in there with Webb or Lauletta or whatever, you weren't. They should have, which all comes back to the guy we're so happy is no longer here. And look, if, I don't know how many years ago, three now, I wanted him gone. I wanted, which you guys probably should have loved when I was posting that. I wanted him gone. I wanted the fucking, pardon my language, I wanted the showers retiled. I wanted the garbage cans gone. I wanted the ball boys switched out. I wanted the shower heads soaked in bleach. I wanted everything gone. And they just didn't do that. The Giants haven't done the right thing since they kept Reese and got rid of the coach. Yeah. And that is a problem, and it's finally been fixed. So yeah, Ethan, you're 1,000% right with your take.
Yes. I think that's where Ethan and I, the last 4 years, we pretty much saw eye to eye on what needed to change. And I think now that it's finally changed, we're sitting back and we're saying, let the process play out. Don't overreact to certain things that happen in practice and who gets reps and who doesn't get reps. Don't, you know, try to dissect every single comment that, you know, a coach or a GM makes. Look at the action. And so far,
you sound like you're 1,000% talking about Tyrod Taylor getting first team rep.
Shout out to Connor Hughes.
My whole thing was I thought it made sense. I'm not saying that this should be a full-blown quarterback competition, but the guy's missed games. You have to prepare for him, you know, possibility for him not to play at some point this season.
Look, he's definitely going to play. Hopefully that's not, you know, knock on wood, that's not going to happen. But yes, of course he's going to take first. Doesn't a backup always take at least some first team reps? I don't know why it's such a big deal. And you know what? I think Daniel Jones has a shorter leash than most because of where these guys came from and brought Taylor in.
Yeah. I think that too. To me, look, when it comes, when I talk to people about the Giant quarterback position this year all the time, I say, look, it just looks like, it smells like, it tastes like a team that is headed toward drafting a quarterback. It just looks that way. Now, obviously, it can change. You know, wild things have happened in the NFL. You've seen it. We've all seen it. But it just looks like that right now. So to me, I'm not going to sit here and be like, Tyrod Taylor shouldn't be taking first team reps, or why are we dishing out this much money for a quarterback too? Or why is Daniel Jones, like, to me, we're going to find out, you know, at the end of the year, one way or another, we are going to find out. To sit here in August and worry about, to me, that's why I troll. Like, at this point, people are overreacting at practices. I'm like, look, it's early. Let's just continue to play that card. Because at the end of the day, Daniel Jones is going to start the season as a starting quarterback.
And barring injury, good, but yes.
Barring injury, yes. And if he can play well, the question will be answered. And if he doesn't play well, like, you know, if it goes like the last 3 years have gone, we're going to get our answer. There's no point of trying to, like, dissect everything in August. So why worry about it? Why worry about it?
I agree. I agree with that statement. And I'm going to, you know, I'm sorry. I just don't see a four-year – you know, 24 to 60, $80 million, $60 million contract. I see, you know, the Giants have so many players on 1 year contracts and getting the cap under control. I see it. I see none of these quarterbacks being on a team maybe. And I see, you know, hey, How much will Lamar Jackson cost? I don't know. Let's see what happens next year. I mean, let's see what happens next year.
Yeah. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, Daniel Jones is going to be fine. If he's not catching on with the freaking Giants, listen, 6 overall pick, he's made his money. He's probably got a bunch of endorsements. He's sort of vanilla, so I don't even know what endorsements he would have. But I'm sure, there you go with the shirt.
Don't forget about the Duke education. He's got that
the Duke education. Listen, he's a tall white guy with a big arm who can run. He'll be a backup in the NFL for 10 years. Yeah. Okay? He's going to make his money.
Ethan, you don't look at – trust me, this conversation is going so south on Daniel Jones right now, but we all want him to succeed. But could you imagine, like, I look at him – if it doesn't work out here, and we all agree, we pray it does, because that means our team is succeeding and he finally figured it out. But if it doesn't, I really see a Darnold situation in him. I see him going to another team. I think he might start somewhere else. I think he might be a backup somewhere else. He's just going to go to team and play for the next 5-6 years.
He's going to ride that 6 overall pedigree until the wheels fall off.
Yes, sir.
So he'll get jobs.
We talked about the quarterback. I want to ask you about the roster. You brought up a good point. A lot of one-year deals, and that's sort of been the thing, right? They haven't been able to find cornerstone guys. And you and I talked about a little bit.
They can't afford cornerstone guys.
We're talking about some of the stuff you do, you know, in the offseason and the charity work you do, specifically your charity baseball thing. And you talked about how tough it's been to really get guys on because you build the relationship and you turn around and the guy's gone.
Yeah, sucks.
But it looks like finally – that we're starting to see some cornerstone guys emerge, some guys that are going to be here for 5, 6, 7, 8 years. What are your thoughts on where this roster is now, how much work it needs outside of the quarterback position, and how many cornerstone pieces do you think that they have and need more of?
Great. I mean, that's a really solid question, man. Cornerstone, the Giants finally figured it out with obviously having the 2 tackles, right?
Yeah.
And you have to base your offense on that. You have to give me a scenario. Are the Giants going to be paying a running back between $12 and $14 million dollars?
Sure hope not.
I don't think so.
It's not going to happen. Okay. Love Barkley. I think he's going to have 20 freaking 200 total all-purpose yards this year. You can laugh. I swear to God, I think he's going to blow up this year. I think the guy's going to play all 17 games, and he's going to blow the hell up, and it's going to be like, holy shit, how are you going to pay him?
But I said this on the last episode. I said I'm more excited about Barkley than I am of any other player in this offense. Yeah,
I'm actually with you, but we're going so off tangent because –
yeah, I disagree there, but go – yeah. Go on, Joe.
Wait, is Will on this thing? No. So
he's actually off camera. He's in the corner over there.
Yeah, he is yelling, number two. So, look, I think he's going to go ballistic. But the Giants' strength is their running backs. Yeah. I can't believe I'm actually saying that. The strength of this team is in the backfield.
Yep.
So can I counter that, but with, like, you know, tongue in cheek? I'm going to counter that tongue in cheek. It's because they don't really have any other strengths.
All right. Tongue in cheek. I'll take that. I obviously will have this conversation in 1 year from now, and I'll be like, hey, what are you talking about? They have 2 tackles that played well. God, I hope he figures his feet out and his. I think he will too. I think, look, there are people that wanted to cut, you know, freaking Thomas's nuts off last year. Yeah. So, or 2 years ago. And look at Aziz and look at KT. Like, I'm telling you, some of these guys pan out.
Yeah.
You have cornerstones to build around.
Right. The most beautiful thing in the world is if you get your 2 bookend tackles and your 2 bookend edge rushers all on their rookie contract. You tell me a better freaking bargain than that.
I'm
outside
with
of
you.
A quarterback.
I'm with you. Hey, let me turn this on you guys for a second. What the hell happened to a wide receiver position?
I was never high on it to begin with. Everybody's on this Kadarius Toney breakout season. And the talent is there, right? No doubt about it. We've seen it. But to me, you got to stay healthy. And I know the injury that he suffered in camp is a short one, and it's not something to overreact about. But to me, for me to get on board on a breakout season, I got to see you healthy first.
So let me ask you a question. Yeah. All right, fair. Are you on the Robinson bandwagon?
We had this exact conversation last week.
I want to see if he's right here. I want to see if you know, let me spitball as you guys tell me. So I heard what you just said. If you're on the Robinson bandwagon, it means you're 1,000% you were on the KT bandwagon last year.
Yes.
The only difference was I'm high on Wandale, not just because of his talent and what he brings, but because the coaching staff can use him.
Yeah, KT this is the first time that a coaching staff will be able to say, hey, guys, let's go five wide. Five wide. Why are we going five wide? Because we freaking can.
Right.
Yeah. And look, I too worry about these so-called injuries. But let me ask you guys, look, I'm at these games, right? I sit. I hear everything. Yes. I hear the coaching staff. I hear the players. I hear who likes who doesn't like who. Who do you want to bang that's sitting behind me in the stands? I hear everything, right? And I'm telling you that if the Giants didn't stink, I'm wondering how many of the injuries that have kept players out
would have played
if the Giants were in any kind of a hunt. Neck aside.
I get it. I like Kadarius. Like, I like Kadarius Toney. I do believe he can be a really good receiver in this league. I'm just not there yet to say this is going to be a breakout season.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, that's totally fair.
Yeah, and I'll add to Joe's point too. Like, I was ready to write off last year, awful season, last year of a coaching staff, you know, guys injured, whatever, sit out, I don't care. When you're on, you know, you're on a snap count in training camp and you're playing with, you know, with the Misty May trainer tape on the knee and you're skipping days, it's load management in camp, you know, it's like, all right, you know, now I'm a little nervous.
I mean, let's go back to, I don't know what, how many games, what was it? Four games. What Odell miss? Four games. Who the hell is this dude? He sucks.
Yeah. But then he went on to pace Randy Moss.
Yeah. I mean, look, you know, I'm a freaking, he's still a good friend and I see him like every other month, but you know,
you got to tell him about the Odell Defense Brigade next time you see him.
Yeah. I mean, dude, a guy, by the way, he looks jacked. He's going to go to the,
I see him on TikTok and Instagram. He's huge.
He's freaking, I'm like, I saw him last week. I'm like, what the hell happened to you? And Brad Wing was with him and Brad Wing is bigger than him.
LSU buddies. He's on that Steve Weatherford workout routine.
No fooling. did you guys know that I freaking nailed that KT pick? The Kadarius Toney?
In what way?
So I had the Darnay Holmes draft up. We did a draft party that night.
Yeah.
And we were in, you know, whatever at the place. And, you know, obviously the Eagles went and did their thing. And of course, you know, I didn't want Kadarius Toney over the top three. That was a given, you know, you have to chase and whatever. And the Giants moved back to 20. And I had him number four on my list of wide receivers in all of college.
Oh, wow.
And all of a sudden, I think I was sitting there at the thing and, you know, 14th pick goes, 15th pick goes. And I'm like, this is fine. Just save Toney for 20, which I couldn't believe. So I want him to work out more than up. but to be honest with you, I do not think that he is going to catch the injury bug. I think he's a human joystick. Just get the ball in his hands.
Yes.
Agreed. That's his purpose. Make guys miss.
Make guys miss and then freaking lateral it to Robinson and let him do it too.
What are your I would like your read on Kenny Golladay so far this off season.
Okay.
Me personally, and just a quick hit, like, I was all about the signing. Loved the signing. Wanted Kenny Golladay here. Thought that he was going to be fantastic. Last year, again, it's very similar to the KT situation. Banged up, injuries, and now we see training camp and preseason. everyone's talking about him, a lot of concerns, people not so sure he's going to be a great fit. I am just clinging to the hope that we finally have a coaching staff that's smart enough to get a guy like him involved, even if he's not a perfect fit for the schemes in which they've come from, Kafka in Kansas City, Dable in Buffalo. So my fingers are crossed. I fear that he'll be a scapegoat early on, and would just like your overall thoughts on that.
So my first thing is, why did you want him?
One, for a few reasons. I think the first reason is when you're as bad as the Giants were for that stretch, right? Just an awful 3-4 years, however long it was. And you finally have a big name free agent that wants to come here. I think that sort of blinds you a little bit, right? Where you're like, oh shit. Like, yeah, like we're going to pay him a lot of money, but like Kenny Golladay, he's the number one wide receiver free agent. Like he wants to come to New York. Hell yeah.
Okay. I'm really glad you said that. So yeah. I too, you know, being, you know, the fan that all of us are, and we, you know, we're never going to get this guy. We're never going to get that guy. Cause no one wants to come to a losing
a mess.
It's just a mess. And don't think that, you know, players don't talk. Dave Gettleman wasn't a very liked general manager. I mean, I got stories for you guys. Like, you know, I don't need any, you know, oh, it's because you're friends with the guy. But I will tell you some. Like, I mean, Landon Collins was going through an injury, and you know, Dave Gettleman would walk past him, not ask him how he's doing, not talk about contract, just walk past him like he wasn't even on the team.
No surprise.
Anymore. Yeah, so anyway, getting back to Golladay. Sorry, I go off. My ADHD is kicking in.
No,
so,
I love it. Listen, any Gettleman stuff we love.
Yeah, Jack, I got more for you, trust me. So you know, here comes Golladay, and I'm like, there's no way that this – okay, all right, this is a great story because I sit with my friend Danny at these games, right? The guy that wears the helmet, he's crazy. Oh, yeah. You know, yeah, he's crazy like I am, and Danny's a fantasy player. I am not. I don't agree. I can't, because you guys know I take all Giants. I'd lose. I'd stand on the corner in some hooker outfit because I lost my fantasy league. And I, you know, everything would just hit the fan. So I don't play. But every single year, my friend Danny would take Golladay. And then he would show me these stats. And he's like, oh, my God, Golladay scored again. You know, I'm like, shut up. I'm trying to watch freaking the game. You know, like he's doing it in the middle of a game. I hate it. But anyway, like then I started watching this guy. Like, I knew who he was, but, like, watching him. And every 50-50 ball, Golladay came down with it. Every single time. Number one in the NFL in 50-50 balls. And this guy wants to come to the Giants? I couldn't wait.
That was my mentality, dude.
Yeah, same. So I couldn't wait. All right. So fast forward to right now. Look, guys. At our jobs, wherever we work, there's always somebody that's either a mess or we don't like. Somebody just under your skin. When that person is no longer there, there's a new person under your skin.
There you go.
So Kenny Golladay happens to be that guy right now for the Giants.
Sure.
He better have thick skin because he deserves everything coming his way. But Ethan, if you're asking me honestly, I think he's going to be the big wide receiver that the Giants need. Yes, he had that drop. Yes, I hated it. But why are we talking about him not getting any kind of separation? It's just gone? No.
It's never been his game.
Exactly. He's a 50-50 guy. And a 50-50 guy, you don't have separation.
Right.
So let him run his routes, get him the ball. And look, going back to what we said, if he's the center of everybody's attention right now, I'm sure freaking Daniel Jones is very happy about that. I'm sure Barkley is very happy about that. And I'm sure KT is very happy about that. So I think we'll know right away, first couple of games, if they're going to use him when the safety gets pulled down, when the cornerbacks bite for, when the D-backs bite for KT and Wandell. And here you have Tony freaking Golladay out in the flat or running his curl, whatever he's going to do, or running a deep post. And I'm telling you, I think he's going to do pretty well.
Yeah, I hope so. Especially because his offense doesn't have many other big guys to go to.
Hey, let me ask you guys something while we're talking about wide receivers. Did you buy the fact that Slayton was being showcased, or did you think that it was his turn to show? What did you get out of that New England game and being first team and throwing him the ball 3-4 times?
I think he was being showcased, but I also think where we are with the receiving core right now, I mean, I don't know. Can you trade him, or you might need him? I mean,
you cannot trade Slayton right now. I'm glad you said that. That was my point.
You can't. I mean,
nope, not right now.
Are you going to go into the season with Colin Johnson, David Sills, and Richie James as your receivers, and with Kadarius Toney's injury? And
no, baby. You're gonna throw the ball to my guy, Alex Bachman. You're gonna throw it to Bachman. I'm so sorry that this isn't video. They can't even see the jersey.
Yeah. You might be the only person in the world that has that jersey, but you know.
Yeah. you and Backman's mom.
So every so often I'll go wild and get a practice player who gets called up once in a while, and they see their jerseys up there, like a Lalo's jersey that I have and stuff like that. And they're like, what the hell, bro? But those, if you really think about it, those are the guys I talk to the most when on the bench. You know, they're on the bench. Yeah. Sometimes not even dressed. And they're like, you know, they come over while others are practicing. And, you know, and they're like, dude, you're here again? I'm like, oh, you don't know, bro. I'm like, you don't know.
I own a number 76 Eric Flowers jersey.
You own your 30.
Not a 74, a 76.
I heard you. Don't worry. I own five freaking Neil 70s.
I used to buy rookie jerseys a lot. I have a 28 Eli Apple jersey as well.
I think it's pretty cool if I get Neil to sign these jerseys. I mean, he wore 70, right?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I have a Michael Strahan signed 64.
Wow.
Damn.
Wow. So, I mean, it's pretty cool, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. Favorite.
Go ahead.
I know Weiss, you want to ask some less football related questions or semi football related questions. Yeah. But before we do that, favorite rookie or rookie that you're most excited to see?
Same as everybody else.
Gotta be one.
Number I know. Five. Same as everybody.
I'll give a contrarian answer.
Hey, look, I'm actually looking forward to. You guys know I wanted 85 linemen in the draft. I really want Neil to succeed. He is bigger. He couldn't even fit in my house. The guy is an absolute monster.
You sound worried.
Really? I'm not worried at all.
There's a butt coming.
Yeah. No, there's no butt with that. I mean, I really want him to work out. All right, maybe there is a butt. But I mean, come on, he's not sexy. We want, right. you're gonna ask me who I want. I want freaking KT to do some freaking spin move and just clobber a quarterback and Giant fans go absolutely ballistic.
Sure.
But I also really want to see Bellinger catch a ball in the end zone.
There you go. That was gonna be my contrarian answer.
So yeah, I'm with you, Ethan. I think Giant fans immediately took to this dude immediately. And yeah. I think he's going to be extremely solid. Did you see his blocking?
Yeah, bro.
I'm really pumped up for Bellinger, but again, not as sexy as defense.
He was the I saw a rep against Kadarius Toney. KT against Kayvon Thibodeau in practice. And it might have been Bellinger who was blocking him.
He's gotta change that number 45. it's killing me. I hate 40 numbers on tight ends.
Yeah. You know what? I'm in a 44 maybe. Yeah, no. He's got to change it to it. He's got to change it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know as well as I do, when KT gives up his number and they could swap, or at least Bellinger would go to 89 where he belongs on a Guevara number.
Yeah.
You know?
I love 17 for Wandale Robinson, by the way, too.
Yeah.
Perfect number. Those small receivers, they got to wear those teen numbers, you know?
Yeah, you know, like plaques. Those small.
Yeah, exactly. Biggie Smalls.
Well, It's a new day. Yeah, it's a new day. I want to ask you a couple of questions. Like you said, been going to games for a long time. You still wear all those plates?
So I'm up to 104. Wow. Yeah, the last plate I got was last week. Guy's wife died. Some of these stories I get with the plates are unbelievable, guys. Like book material one day. But his wife died. He moved. He donated a lot of stuff for charity. He says he got that from me, which I was like, holy shit. And then he's like, I got one thing left to donate, my old plate from the state I moved from. And he sent it to me. And, getting those stories like that, I don't care who you are. That's got to make you choke up a little bit. And
you could write a book.
At 104 now, Ethan, I probably have out of
bro, you could do one or two pages on each story.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe 10 to 15 plates are like mine, whether I changed one car or did whatever. Right. But the rest are like from like fans, which is crazy. But I do not bring them. You're going to love this. So glad you asked about that. So I've been to every stadium so many times, except Vegas, didn't hit it yet. I've been to every stadium so many times. And you guys know I sit front row at away games. I now know how many before they start to hit the ground.
You got it down to a science.
So I'll look up, Philly, 10 before it hits the ground. Dallas, 3, whatever. And I only bring those amounts.
That's awesome.
I really got to go to a game with you, a road game.
Let me tell you something. I would love it. All the plates get broken out at like Fan Fest, the draft. But dude, it needs its own suitcase.
Yeah.
It's extremely heavy. And then by the time I lay them all out and take one freaking pick, take me half an hour to pick them back up again.
You got pre-TSA checkup?
I was going to say, you nervous that you're going to get, the bag's going to get lost?
I really hope you have pre-TSA.
So when I do have it, obviously, and I got clear and I got everything else I could possibly
there
do.
There you go.
But when I, not until recently did I start doing the right amount. I always had like 30 I was going to bring no matter what.
Right.
And I obviously bring them in my carry-on. And I go to the airport, and as soon as it goes through, I'm like, I know.
Yeah,
I know, right? I'll go to, what machine do you want me to wait for? And then I just put my hands out, and I'm like, go ahead. Check me for bomb material. Just go do everything you got to do. Hurry up.
Dave Gettleman's the real terrorist, not you.
Facts.
You must have. I'm a big credit card guy. I love the miles and the points. You must have a lot of credit card miles.
Yeah, so I get that's like the
bro. I love
like
that. I actually have the JetBlue app up right now. I'm flying to San Francisco at 7:30 tomorrow morning.
Oh, that's funny. I'm going to Aruba. I'll be back for the Bengals game.
There you go.
I'll see you at the airport, Ethan.
Sure.
So, I do. That's the second most question I'm asked. What do you think the first is? The most obvious.
Right, total number of miles flown?
No, the first is how do you afford to go to the game? How do you do it? Aren't you a teacher? I'm gonna actually break it down for you guys.
I love this. All right, let's do it.
Yeah, so I'm gonna break it down. So look, right off the bat, I know there are 16 games. Right? Don't worry about 17. This is new. The 16 games, right? So there's 8 away games, correct?
Yes. Correct.
Washington, Philly, and maybe another one I drive to. So let's get that right out of the way. I only have 6 games I got to get to, right?
Sure.
My ticket is the most expensive thing. I have a guy in the NFL. I get all my tickets from him before the schedule comes out. He hooks me up. It costs me an arm and a leg, but I get them all, and I don't worry about that. So that's out of there. I own a PSL at Giant Stadium. I own front row in 149. The row only has my seats in it. It's 1-2. Then the row behind me, 2, has 1-2-3. Then the row behind that has 1-2-3-4, and then a full row all the way up. So I own these 2 seats, and I sell them every year.
God bless you.
I probably make 3,000-4,000, maybe close to 5,000 sometimes if the Giants were good on the whole season.
Profit or just?
Profit.
Nice.
So let's say I bring in 4. I immediately put that towards my travel. So now what am I talking? 2 games out of pocket, 3 games tops?
Right.
If nobody that, I mean,
understands that.
Now, are you staying overnight? Either
I am. I am.
Are you a Marriott guy?
I am a Marriott guy.
Marriott so is my dad. Marriott there you guy. Go. There yeah. You go. But Marriott Bonvoy.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm also a cheap hotel guy.
Come on.
So hold on. I'm not staying in no Red Roof Inn. I'm just saying, like, I'm not. You know, if you're telling me my Marriott rewards, it's still $100-something. And I got this Holiday Inn for $69, bro. I'll see you over there with my waffle in hand in the morning. So honestly, you know, it becomes an easier way to deal with it. Now, look, I still have to buy home tickets, you know, and my goal, and this I started doing, I don't know, 8-9 years ago. I want to sit in every section in MetLife. So I'll either buy a ticket or I'll buy a ticket or get a ticket from a player. Sometimes they make me buy them. I'm like, dude, come on, you're $100. But anyway, so like sometimes I'll sit, you know, in the family section, and that's banging too, because that's like, you know, right on a 45-yard line. But I don't really care where I sit at the home games. You know, I used to go to my dad and sit in 336 at Giant Stadium. So I don't really care about that.
Okay. So you brought up MetLife Stadium.
Right? Yes, sir. Love MetLife Stadium, baby. The king of the NFL.
Take the bias hat off for a second, right?
Oh, my fault.
All right. MetLife Stadium.
It's terrible.
It's not that bad.
It's not the worst in the league, but I'll tell you what bothers me. Hold on. I'll tell you what bothers me.
All right.
I can't get this out of my head. First of all, it's not the worst, bro. It really isn't.
And no, people it's not. Should relax. I've been to the worst.
And people should relax on it. However.
The link?
Yeah.
FedEx Field is bad. FedEx Field
that's
is bad.
The worst. That's the worst in the league.
Worst I'm stadium I've ever been
that's
to.
That's the worst in the league. And the link's up there. But anyway, MetLife to me, and I don't know why I can't get this out of my head. It was the last. I don't even know how to say this. It was the last built before the monstrosities.
It was the last football stadium built.
That's such a good way. I'm going to steal that. Thank you for saying that. It was like the last football stadium. Now you have football experiences.
Yeah. Now you got stadiums that do a whole bunch of shit for you.
But hey, isn't it a business, bro?
It is.
Okay, so.
But here's the thing.
You don't want, stop it. You don't want to go to the Ram game. You don't want to. The TVs to go all the way around. You don't want this experience of the freaking roofs opening and closing and your seats moving and shit.
I would hate it if MetLife Stadium had a roof over it. I hate this idea of football needs to be played indoors.
No, I am 1,000% going the other way on this.
No, 1,000%. I hate it.
So what? So you wish you were, you know, take you back to 1950s. You should have grown up then, right? Because that's real football.
I'm a traditionalist.
Man. Give me some mud on the cleats, baby.
I cannot picture going to a Giant game in December and sitting in my seat. Me and Ethan were at that Week 18 game.
Bro, I was freezing my balls off. I was miserable. Right? You want more of that?
I was worried about Will's health. I mean, the guy was shivering and talking to me, right? And telling me why, you know, it was such a mistake drafting a running back number 2. Where I said, man, you're about to freeze to death. Stop worrying about that. But my thing is, I love that because that's New Jersey. That's Giant football.
Okay, all right.
That's NFC East. You're going to put a roof over my head? Come on. No.
Look, listen. I'm with you. Like what you just said took me back a lot of years, bro. What you just said, my dad used to say, this is NFC East football. Yes. This is punch you in the mouth football.
Yes.
And I'm like, and now if my dad passed it, I'm resting in peace. And I look at my dad now, if there was a dome over it, I'd be like, dad, as I'm enjoying this Pepsi in a, as it's
your free medium Pepsi,
as it's 10 degrees outside, Dad, it's still NFC football, but I'm mad nice in this stadium with a dome on it.
Okay. All right.
I'm sorry, man. I just
put a dome on Lambeau Field. Those two iconic playoff victories are not iconic.
Okay.
Put a dome on Candlestick. That NFC Championship game is not as iconic.
Okay, what a great point. I love both of those. Put lights at Wrigley. Ah, that shit worked out. I mean, we could go. I'm just saying, we could go on and on. I feel you. You can't throw the putting a dome on Lambeau like that, because that deflates my argument. Because you're never gonna do that. But dude, I'm sorry. Like we said, it's a business, right?
Yes.
New York, New Jersey, tri-state area.
What has it missed out on? It's gonna have the World Cup there. It already had, I think it was what, Copa America was there years ago. It had WrestleMania there. It had the Super Bowl there.
All right, so I don't know. How about Summer Jam?
You want a Final Four game? You want a college basketball game?
How about Summer Jam? Why can't I have Winter Jam? I want Winter Jam.
You want St. John's to play? You want St. John's?
Some comfortable winter concerts.
You want St. John's at Rutgers at MetLife Stadium? Is that
I want Bruce Springsteen in February.
Is that what we're missing out on? Is that what we're missing out on? A college basketball invitational?
Billy Joel has his 9,787 concert at Madison Square Garden. Why can't he have it in New Jersey, goddammit?
Listen, MetLife Stadium is about business. It's a football stadium. You go there to play football. You don't go there.
Do you know when we were being sold a bag of goods on the PSLs? one of the things was that they were going to build at least the infrastructure to have a roof. I don't know if you knew that.
I knew there was talk of that, and they didn't get approved. Yeah. But
it didn't get approved. We already paid the money. But I never forget, one of the things that they said was, think about the concerts and everything that's going to be here. And as a PSL owner, you're going to have the rights to, you know, those concerts. And I remember saying, oh shit, that's the coolest thing I ever heard. So like Metallica comes in, it's my favorite. I'm like, Metallica comes in and I'm like going to be sitting in my seat that I sit at a Giants game. And I never forget going home after, you know, obviously I was going to get the PSLs, you know, I was going to keep it in the family, you know, because of all the years that my dad had it. I was on the 99 year waiting list, and I only had probably 70 years to go. But I remember saying to myself, hold on a second. What if the douchehead Jet fan wants to go to the Metallica concert? He got the same seat I got.
Right.
Because we should.
Right.
So I was like, that shit ain't gonna happen. Like, there's so many things that happen. But anyway, getting back to what you said, I don't know, man. I would have liked to have the option. How's that? Can we agree to disagree on the option of having it?
Sure, but
retractable.
I really, really, really like MetLife Stadium. It's a football stadium to me.
You're crazy.
A football stadium.
It's not the worst, but you can't.
A football stadium to you. I'm not. I'll disagree with your last statement because I think you really want grass, bro.
Oh yeah.
I think we all do at this point.
Can I say something for the record?
Yeah.
Every NFL stadium should be grass.
I'm with you.
Jerry Jones can afford to get grass in and out of AT&T Stadium.
Now look, one stadium that has survived and is gorgeous, Arizona, and when the field goes out, gets the sun, and then it goes back. Mind-boggling.
You've been to Indianapolis, right? Lucas Oil. You've been there.
I went to some Super Bowl there or something.
Oh, yeah. I just teed you up right there. I gave you a nice pop. I think Giants Stadium is better than Lucas Oil Stadium. I've been to Lucas Oil, by the way.
Well, I mean, obviously, you're talking on it. I don't disagree with that. I mean, I haven't been there a lot of times.
I had a 1-hour debate with somebody about that the other day, believe it or not.
Have you been to Minnesota?
Not yet, but I do want to go there.
Probably one of the nicest stadiums I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
It's actually a mini Dallas. Dallas is my favorite.
Really?
Yeah. It's Jerry Jones stupid. It's so not every part of that stadium is gorgeous. They have seven levels. They have so many levels that and a standing room at like the fifth level. It's so cool. They have so many levels that you can't even see the field. They put, instead of the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, they have to have like Bud Light cheerleaders on the fifth level because you can't even see the ones on the field.
Is it true he has Persian rugs in the club sections?
He's got everything you could possibly imagine in that stadium. I love it. I love it. You know, Jerry Jones helped build Yankee Stadium. You know that, right?
Right.
I did not know that.
Ethan, it's kind of like as far as the legends and stuff like that, like becoming a business type atmosphere. Jerry Jones has a lot to do with it. Jerry Jones built, he also helped build Minnesota. That's why I say it.
Right. Got it. Right.
Cool.
All right, Joe, we've had a great talk and we're going to wrap it up here with one question. Now, you don't have to answer if you don't want to, because I know how you are.
I'm not a big homer anymore.
Give me your season predictions. Honest to God prediction. I knew he was going to do that.
No. Hey, look, I'm going to give you a realistic goal. I really am. I don't think 14. No. Hold on. Look, the Giants hopefully are going to surprise. And when I say surprise, I'm going to give you 3 to 4 wins that are surprises. Hold on.
Okay.
That's 3 to 4 on top of 3 to 4 that you could win.
They should win. Yeah, there you go.
That's right. So if that's the case, I will give you a realistic goal of Vegas is 7.5 and tell you to take the over with 8.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. Love the confidence.
Now look, I think I put a tweet out, probably one of the best I ever had, like of 2 weeks ago, because it was like, I don't even know what I said. It was like 6-5. Okay, that's what we probably are looking at. 6, I'd have a smile on my face. 7, I'd be like, okay, cool. And 8, I'd be in heaven. Something like that.
You know what will put a smile on my face?
What?
At the end of the year, we have our answer about the quarterback position.
You're going to have an answer, bro, one way or the other.
Listen, you're sitting at 8 wins, 9, 8, 7, 8 wins.
I know. I hate that.
Well, a one-year, $18 million deal doesn't sound bad,
No, it would be 23, and it sounds bad.
Yeah, that's what I want. Just give me that.
I love that you just brought that up because it's true. It's like 8 wins, maybe just another year. You're right. I hate that.
You know what eight wins is? It's a moral. It's like a moral victory. We were respectable.
Hey, let me ask you guys something. Is 7 moral for this year?
I don't want to tell you where I am because I promise not to reveal my thing until our season preview show.
Well, I feel where you're going. And it's not past mine, bro.
If they win 7 games, I just moral hope victory. That it's a moral victory, but just hope that you have a clear-cut answer on the quarterback. Hope that the offense was so good that the defense was so bad that you couldn't close out games. You were losing games like 40-37 or 40-35.
Are you a Daniel Jones fan? I'm curious.
There's
a follow-up question. That's why I asked.
Yeah. I am not a Daniel Jones fan, not because of what I thought about him before the draft, based on what I've seen. Okay, I do not think he's a long-term solution.
No, that's okay, because this is my argument with Giant fans when they come at me about being a homer sometimes. I just bear with me. Someone like you, and I'm cool with it because you don't have to like him. He's not giving you really anything to show you that he should be around long-term. So I can't disagree with you. However, your dislike of Daniel Jones is literally saying to me, I can't have them win 7 or 8 games because you might keep the guy I don't like and it's not the right answer. Hold on. So you're going to come out with your freaking preview and you're going to put him at 4 wins, maybe 5.
So I'll tell you already, there's no way Weiss puts them at 4 or 5 wins. You know who puts them at 4 or 5 wins? This guy. For those who are not, we're audio only. I'm pointing at myself right
here. Ethan, why don't you tell them where I had the Giants last year? I had them in the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So listen, if you're gonna,
you're such a homer, bro.
Listen, of the two of us, he is the homer. I mean, he's not a homer, but between the two of us, he's a homer.
Look, I think there's a lot of things working against Daniel Jones. There's a timeline with these young quarterbacks, and he's up against the time. The roster's not too good. It's just mission impossible, really.
I'll give you a more straightforward answer, Joe. As someone who also doesn't like Daniel Jones, I didn't like him before the draft. I was hoping that he would prove me wrong. He didn't prove me wrong. At the point where the Giants were,
that's a lot of stuff going to be going to charity in a couple of years, as you're wearing the shirt, the hat.
Yeah. Listen, if we look at this through the lens of Joe Shane, right? He comes in here. He doesn't pick up the guy's fifth-year option. He's watched pretty much every single game that Daniel Jones has played as a pro, I have to assume. I'm sure he kept his eye on him when he was still up in Buffalo when the Giants were playing, okay?
Yes.
So this is a guy who's very well-versed in Daniel Jones, right? Safe to say that, and you said it yourself, that the odds are right now, the odds could be 51-49, but the odds are that next year, Tyrod Taylor and Daniel Jones are not the quarterback of the New York football Giants, right?
Correct.
So for me, listen, I'm not rooting against the guy, but I have to believe that it's more detrimental to win 8 games than it is for them to win 4 or 5, right?
Which is what my point was just before.
Right. But again, I'm not rooting against him, right? If he's going to win games, get me to 10, okay? Like, get me to 10 wins. Get me to a place where I can believe.
Give me
the answer. Don't give me to a place where I'm still asking myself at the end of the season, are you the guy? Either get me to 4 or get me to 10, but don't land me in the middle. And that's just where I'm at. Right.
See, like, and that's a great, I mean, a really good point, because we've been here 4 years now.
Right. Just
and here, show here, me. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. You talk about 4 wins, 5 wins. I am not high on this roster right now. A lot of young, good young pieces. You'll wait for the season preview, but this ain't gonna be like years past. I'm not going to fall into the trap that I've fallen into the last 2 years, 3 years.
You mean the last 45 years I fell into?
Yeah, exactly.
But hey, Joe, it's been awesome, man. We got to do this again.
Absolutely.
Plug that that autograph event one more time. What you got going on? What is that?
Yeah, man, I literally just put it out there on social media right before we went on. It's a big autograph show, November 19th in Fort Lee, New Jersey. Go ahead, guys. Give me a former player. Go ahead. Just name a couple. First of all, the headliner is Coughlin.
Wow. Okay.
He's the headliner.
Eli Manning?
Who?
Eli Manning?
In.
Amani Toomer.
In.
Woo.
Let's have some controversy. Odell Beckham.
Not in.
Hopefully he'll be playing somewhere. Go ahead, give me 3-4 more.
Plaxico Burress,
Janner Jacobs, in.
Wow.
Hakeem Nicks.
Keep going. Who?
Hakeem Nicks.
In.
Michael Strahan.
Not in.
Ooh.
Damn it.
Okay.
But I'll give you one.
OC.
No, I'll give you two right now that'll make your head spin.
Go ahead.
OC from London.
Guess the OC. There you go. Love that.
And Shockey from Florida.
Wow. Okay. Shockey is
Fort Lee, New Jersey, right?
So, yeah.
Shockey is shocking.
Shocking. So listen, here's the deal. So most of the people that come to my events, you know, I charge $20 for a softball game, $30. You get in there. Half the guys are in the stands signing autographs. That is not this event, guys.
Yeah.
This is a $10 event to get in, but then it's an autograph show. So I think like your favorite Giants, you're sitting on a line to get an autograph and a picture op. I don't run that side of it. I get the players. These guys pay the players or whatever the hell's done. This will be my first. That's not true. It's not my first one. It's the first one I'm running. I went to this thing called the National 2 weeks ago with Odell. Holy shit. It was the greatest thing I've ever seen. Like, anybody was there, from the guy who shot Osama bin Laden to freaking Ricky Henderson to, you know, Odell. Yeah. I mean, it was amazing. There's been thousands of people there. So this is that it. That's the same thing, but a Giants event.
Bear Pasco.
Bear Boss Ballard.
No way.
Those are my boys, the Killer Bees.
Bro, oh my wow. God. All right, that's awesome. All right, so where can we find out more about that? On your socials, at License Plate
yeah,
Guy?
At License Plate Guy. I just put it up
there. Is there a website? I
mean, the website is... The website
I'll tweet out the graphic that I saw.
Yeah, the website is hallofames.com or whatever it is. You'll see it on the on the thing. It's that's the tickets. And again, limited tickets. We're not going to go freaking bananas. I asked the guy to keep it really low, and he did. I think it was $10 to get in. Nice. So even getting there, like bringing kids and pointing out, you know, that's Justin Tuck, that's OC right. New York, that's so and so, and not waiting online for a $200 autograph, you know, whatever, at least you're there and you get to go shopping and have some fun. And it's just a big giant event. I don't want anybody else other than a giant.
There you go. And where is it?
It's in Fort Lee, New Jersey, whatever the hotel is, but it's up and running.
Very cool. All right. So for those who want to go learn more, follow Joe at License Plate Guy, Twitter, Instagram. Are you on TikTok yet? We got to get you on TikTok if you're not on TikTok.
Of course I'm on TikTok.
There you go. All right. Follow him on TikTok.
Let me plug his event correctly. It's the Giants Show in-person autograph event appearing Saturday, November 19th, 2022 at the Doubletree in Fort Lee, 2117 Route 4 East. For advanced ticket purchase, visit www.hallofamesignings.com, or they can hit you up in the DMs or no.
I don't really. Did you see my post today about that?
No, so I'm very bad.
No. Don't be silly. I'm sure like you guys, I get thousands, thousands, and I don't really check my DMs. And I probably have a lot of people that hate me for it. Like, oh, I reached out to you a year ago. You suck. I don't check them because either somebody wants a hat, an autograph, a helmet, a jersey. Hey, do me a favor. Just quickly run by Eli's office. Get my jersey signed for me. let me get right on that for you.
Yeah, you answer one, you got to answer them all.
Right, so I don't.
A bunch of jerk offs too.
So. Right, every time I check it, to be honest with you guys, I don't need a pat on the back here, but I get freaking swamped in it. Some lady, her grandson died and she got these autograph cleats and then they weren't sent to our house and like life's like, could you help me? And I'm like, oh man, you know, like I just put that up today. I'm like, I mean, I could talk to some people, get you something from the game, I hope, but I don't want to get your hopes up. It's just no, don't DM me.
Right.
Got you. I retweeted the thing, the graphic. So if you're listening, check it out. It's gonna be an awesome event. You heard the names. Wrap us up, Ethan.
All right. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN, Weiss at NYG Daily, Joe at License Plate Guy. Subscribe to the podcast. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. We'll be back next week, I guess, or after the next preseason game. Either one. We'll talk to you soon.
Peace.